You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And look who's still here, Matt Moreno. I haven't scared you away, Matt. No, thanks. You're like my crutch. Need you to get me through 2 hours of this fun that we do. The check's in the mail, by the way.
Cool, thanks.
Hey, we also have on the phone a former KVOA sports anchor, Ari Alexander. Ari, how are you?
Good, how are you, Steve?
Fine, thank you. I'm sure you already missed Tucson.
I do, of course.
You're now in Houston. Tell me what you're up to these days. You're about 2 months away. How long have you been gone?
Yeah, about 2 months. So these days, I'm off today, luckily, but it's a lot of Texans and Astros right now before the Rocket season started. So I've been basically spending every morning at Texans training camp. And then I just got back from Green Bay a week ago for the Texans' first preseason game. And then Lions were in town this week.
Yeah. I saw you in Green Bay on Facebook. I was wondering, what are you doing there? Figuring, well, you know, you're up to doing some crazy I will be back stories, you know, like your boxing stuff.
Well, yeah, I was hungry for cheese.
So, yeah. So how do you like it?
Oh, it's wonderful. Obviously, the humidity is a little bit of a challenge after spending 3.5 years living in Arizona. And I'm trying to find some golf courses that are as good as the ones that I had in Tucson and finding a little trouble. But other than that, it's great. You know, it's tough to beat professional sports.
No question. In fact, you just head to the Woodlands. You'll find plenty of golf there.
Oh, man, I live at Galleria, so that's like 40 minutes away, and traffic is no joke. This isn't, you know, Tucson where it's 3 minutes across Oracle. It's been tough.
No, I'm well aware. I was in Dallas. I was working at the Dallas Morning News long before you were born, actually, and sent me to Houston to do some golf, and I loved it. And you're right, the heat is different there. It's like you take a shower and then you go outside, you take another shower.
Four shower town, what they call it.
So are you glad? This is a dumb question, but I'm sure you're glad you made the move in terms of you're doing different things, having more diverse things to talk about to do.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's obviously bittersweet because I'm definitely going to miss Tucson because a lot of the people were so kind and it's such an interesting place to live. But you know, yeah, it's one thing I really missed when I came from Memphis to Tucson was the opportunity to cover pro sports. And so I covered the NBA in Memphis, and now, you know, I'm kind of back on the grind with every day with Astros and Texans and the Rockets coming up here soon. I know James Harden's having a big event this weekend with like Meek Mill and Travis Scott and all these people that are coming for it. And so it's been kind of nice to get back into, especially with how the NBA has exploded to getting back into covering pro sports.
Yeah. So I don't get to watch you much at all, actually. But tell me, who's going to be the player that you're going to say Dušan Ristić for? Who's that player?
Oh man. I'm trying to think of a guy whose name I can pronounce correctly that no one else can. I don't know. We'll see. There'll be a couple. There's someone. Well, so this is where I miss Paul Sakala, because we had Rogelio Armenteros pitching for the Astros, and Paul would have just nailed that. And so, yeah, no hockey. There might be a tennis thing swinging through. So, yeah, we'll see if maybe U of H has a Serbian guy or something that I can show everyone up with the Cyrillic language skills.
Right. Have you been to the Astros? I'm sure you have.
Yeah, absolutely. Minute Maid Park is beautiful, and the Astros are really, really good. It's a nice little change of pace from watching my favorite team, the Mets, be a disaster every day.
Well, they came. What the heck happened to the Mets? They came back.
Yeah, well, they had the 15-1 run, but then in, you know, perfect Mets feeling, they had like three guys get injured right after that.
Right. Well, they always give you hope, and then they steal it from you.
That's what the Mets do.
Have you seen Francisco Romero yet?
I have. I see him all the time. Great guy. I'm glad to see, you know, Pueblo High Zone and every day in the clubhouse. And so I'm very jealous of him with the Spanish skills, because he's over there and he'll pull, you know, some of the Spanish-speaking players with the Astros and have this wonderful interview, and I'm over here like picking out one or two words, and it's just like, man, I wish I could do that. If only we were in a hockey locker room.
So you picked the wrong sport to cover. That's why.
Yeah, or I picked the wrong place to be born.
Very much so. Very much so. So let's kind of reminisce a little bit. You have about 6-7 minutes here. So you were here like 3 years, not too long.
Yeah, so it was 3.5. So I started in January 2016 and left in June of 2019.
So your favorite, give me your favorite moment or two.
Doing the feature story on Majuk Dang, who is now going to be at Pepperdine from Bellpoint, was great. And then I'd say the first few days of the College World Series were really cool. And then I was there for 15 days in Omaha, and anything you know, the Midwest, anything more than about 4 days, I'm good. But yeah, so that was initially, it was really cool to see Jay Johnson lead that run.
Yeah, no question. That was a fantastic way to start the career here, and you were out there. Yeah, it's tough to be away for 15 days and somewhere where it's not that great of a time to be. Well, I guess Omaha's okay.
Omaha's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So what about football? What do you miss about football?
I think Friday Football Fever is one thing that I'm going to miss a lot. Last year, I know I did the feature stories where I challenged the kids to some sort of contest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't have a player of the week thing here, so I'm not going to be able to do that. And also finding the time when you have Texans practice every day is also difficult. But, yeah, that was one thing that I definitely am going to miss.
I did watch some of that stuff. That was kind of goofy. You know that was goofy, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm aware, but I feel like I can pull it off.
What was your strangest thing? I have to remember some of them. You were like, you wore a monkey suit or something before? What did you do?
No, man, it was a wolf mask.
Wolf, yeah, I can't remember.
Entirely different class of journalism.
I couldn't remember the craziness that you had gotten yourself into.
Yeah, I was with Walden Grove. They're twins, their quarterback and the receiver. I did a thing and see if their kid could catch touchdown passes on me, and he is quite a bit more athletic than I am.
And you cut eggs or something like that, or tried to?
Yeah, that was with Empire, yeah, for the soft hands contest with Cody Pacheco. Caught some eggs. I actually almost won. And then as I celebrated, I lifted it up and it slipped out of my hand. I actually made the catch, but I got a little too, you know, too Antonio Brown with it and flexed too early.
Yes, yes. Okay, so let's move to basketball. I know you're not going to miss basketball.
I'm not. Covering major program, I think college basketball and college football is not fun in the sense of they don't give you any access. And I know that there are so many kids on the team that have these terrific backstories that you're just not allowed to report on the way that you should be able to. For instance, even though he's no longer there, Emmanuel Aitont was like a chess whiz, you know. So that's a cool little backstory. And guess what? That story never gets to be done. Or even Abraham Mayava on the football team, kid was a walk-on who had to work at the airport to, you know, pay his bills. And that's a great story, too, that, again, doesn't get done other than a few blurbs that Michael Lev can write just based off of, you know, an interview that we had as a group. But that's one of those things that works better as a one-on-one story.
Yeah, no question. So now baseball, maybe you still have a little memories of that. It'll probably keep you warm and fuzzy for until you start doing big time stuff.
Yeah, no, I'll miss Jay Johnson. He's a great guy, and I've already talked to a bunch of the people. I talked to Brent Strom. He had obviously great things to say about Tucson, the Astros pitching coach, and so that's one thing. I mean, Tucson's just a baseball and a golf town to some degree that I think you'll find people with a connection everywhere.
So who was your favorite interview?
So I think, this is a little unfair because we're buddies now. We're playing on the softball team together. But I think Robbie Medell was really good. And then now he's trying to work his way into a media career. And I think he's going to be great in that aspect as well.
Who is that, Robbie?
Robbie Medell, pitcher, Arizona baseball.
Oh, okay. Okay. Tells you that I went out there very infrequently. That's cool.
He was a good interview.
So he's trying to get back in this business?
Yeah, I think he's did a few called a few games for Pac-12 Network as an analyst. And did some, you know, they have the online stream for Arizona baseball, and I think he's got such a big personality and such a good knowledge of sports that hopefully he'll be successful. It's obviously very tough and very competitive, but I'm rooting for him. He's a great guy.
Yeah, the good thing is you'll see a lot of people with Tucson ties there. Not that that means anything to Houston, but at least they'll keep you busy with conversations.
Oh yeah, of course. And then Paul will text me and, hey man, can we get some sound from Craig Bjornsson while you're at the All-Star game?
Yeah, Paul, you'll never leave Paul, sorry to tell you.
Oh, of course. I miss Paul.
Yes, yes, I'll get to see him this
and
weekend.
You too,
Steve. Oh, yeah, sure. I'm on the bottom of that list. Well, I wanted to tell you congrats, and thanks for coming on for a brief time here, and I'm sure people here are going to miss your stuff.
Well, I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me on, and go eat a Nico's burrito for me.
I can't. My doctor won't let me, but thank you for the offering. Or I can put it. Can I put it on your tab? You still have a tab here?
No. If I was still living in Tucson, I'd say no. But now, yeah, you can put it on my tab.
All right. Well, good to hear from you. Good to talk to you. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Take care. That was Ari Alexander, former KVOA guy, news guy. Good to talk to him. I guess let's do this. We still have time in this first break, Bob. Do you still have the press conference up? Let's do that. So let's play the next 5 minutes of it, because there's only like 7 minutes, maybe 6 minutes of it, and then come back and then go to break.
A lot of players and coaches haven't been to Hawaii, so is there going to be any sightseeing trips or going to the beach while you guys are there?
Well, I think we're staying there on the beach, so, you know, it's a little bit different than I had a team. I probably shouldn't tell this story. So I feel better about this team going to Hawaii because we do have palm trees here and a lot of these guys from California have been to a beach. So it's a little bit different than the team I went to Hawaii in a few years ago from Minnesota. It was a little bit different. So scenery was different in Minnesota than it is around here. So, we got guys that a lot of them haven't been there, but, you know, Southern California and some places, they'll be all right.
How far back do you and Coach Fulmich go?
Just know each other from different events and trade ideas and things like that. I just think he's a cutting edge guy. You know, he's a guy that is a very intense guy. And I think you see his football team. They are a reflection of him. I mean, they're tough. They're sound. I don't know how many times they're going to throw it, but he's not going to back off of that either. So it's, we've got to be prepared, obviously, for their running game, but we also have to have that rotation in the front and to be able to rush the passer.
While you're at home, what are you most anxious to see in the first game of the season?
Just what we've been talking about. You know, we got some new guys that are going to be on the field. You talked about Drew Dixon. You talked about some of these guys that have been in backup roles that are going to be pressed into, not pressed, but they've been practicing in starting roles. You know, the new guys, and as we talked about, you know, the new guys in the defensive front, new guys in the offensive line. Usually a coach is very, very nervous about that, but, you know, heck, we had, what, one returning starter last year and the offensive line and the walk-on center. So, you got to feel better about where you're at right now with at least three, four guys that a little bit older, a little bit bigger, and we know something about. You know, with J.J., Bryce Wilmer had a nice, you know, we kind of slowed down with him the first 2 weeks, but his last 2 weeks he's been in the mix and been doing a nice job. So you look at some of these guys that didn't play last year and who are coming off of injuries and things like that, there's just more stability right now. You know, we didn't have Scotty Young for three games at the beginning of the year. Jace was non-existent. It's a different team right now with Miles and Trayvon. I mean, it's just a completely different football team. So for me and as a coach, it's been exciting just because of the new faces that are there and some guys that have been on this program but have struggled because of other issues, whether it's injury or suspension. That gets back to the consistency piece, and I think our guys have done a pretty nice job in the off season of handling their business. I go back to the spring semester, we had the highest GPA, team GPA in the history of the program, and so what that tells me is these guys are listening, and they're about their business right now more than just what we're just talking about, hit or miss. Now, will that transfer to Saturday evenings? You got to hope so, because I think what we've asked them to do in the off season, they have worked really hard at it, and they have shown that not just in this building, but on campus and socially, all kinds of ways that they're growing up, and you got to think that's going to transfer to the results on Saturday.
One more question.
You've been acknowledging his athleticism, which you've mentioned before, and the fact that he was in the quarterback room before, which helped him. Are you still a little bit surprised that Jamari has ascended as quickly as he has?
A little bit. But, you know, he's guy's a really good athlete. You know, we all knew that. So I think, you know, one thing that you – I've seen this before, too. So one thing that you forget about is that conceptually, when you make that move from quarterback to receiver, conceptually, he's already there because he's got to know the route tree. He's got to know the route combinations because he's reading them, right? Now, the technique that becomes the issue, right? But him walking through the door, changing positions and going out there and playing receiver is probably easier for him than it was for a couple of these freshmen that walked in here, right? Or a junior college guy who has never, he doesn't know our route tree, he doesn't know our communication, our verbiage, anything. So all you had to do with him really is it's coaching and technique, because he knows where everybody's supposed to be. Well, he better have, because he was quarterback. but it's the technique piece, and he's a really good athlete, you know, and he's got great hand eye. I was shocked he was back there. I lost a bet because he was catching punts the other day, and he was doing that effortlessly. So I don't know if he's going to do that, but that just tells you what kind of athlete he is with his speed, his size, and his hand-eye coordination. All right, thanks, guys.
That was great. That was probably his best, or some of his best stuff, the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I thought that was probably the best part of what he had to say.
Yeah, talking about the team and then Jamari, of course. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. We're on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm here with Matt Moreno of Go AZ Cats. So that was the most interesting. Joyner, you saw him in high school, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Athletic as all heck.
Yep.
Good quarterback, obviously. Now he's been moved, and he looks like he has a nice little future.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like I've been saying all for the last few weeks, is he looks like a natural there. I mean, to me, there's...
At receiver.
You expect some kind of adjustment period, but when, you know, the first couple of practices when he was out there with the receivers, he looked like one of the receivers, and now he's, you know, put on the top of the depth chart as one of the slot receivers for Arizona going to the Hawaii game, and we'll see what happens. I think, as Kevin Sumlin said, one of the benefits of him making the move from quarterback to receivers that he kind of knows what they're looking for. He knows what the quarterback would be looking for, and he knows how where he should be going, and understand what routes they should be running. And so I think that definitely helped him. And then he's just one of the more athletic players on the team. And that's, you know, that's always going to help you when you move to a different position, move to one of those other skill spots. So I think it's helped him out a lot. And I think he's actually going to have a really good career as he moves forward at that position.
How tall is he?
I think about 6'3".
Oh, he's that big?
Yeah.
So that's a good size for his spot.
Maybe a little bit smaller.
It looks, I thought maybe like 6 foot, but I, you know, what do I know? Hey, so the spread...
No, I'm 6'1". Maybe I don't pay attention to stuff, Steve.
No, I know. No, I don't. Hey, so the spread is still 10.5, 11. It's still a lot of points. I don't know where that'd go because I don't know any better. But the spread over and under is?
I have no idea what it would be.
73, 74. It's a lot of points.
Yeah.
But it's like, I said 40 to 30.
Yeah.
That's just under. I would probably go under. No. 35.
That's a good place to put it.
Yeah, 35, 43. Maybe over. Who knows? That's why, you know, gambling is gambling. But so I was going to ask you, who's the guy outside of Khalil? I know this is kind of a dumb question because I'm already setting it up this way. That Arizona cannot afford to lose on the offensive end. Well, you can include him there, J.J. Taylor. Okay?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, between Khalil and J.J. Taylor?
How about the left tackle? Donovan Leigh. I think if you lose your left tackle, they worked through that last year with Leigh. They were able to get through it and move, you know, someone over there. But I think losing one of the linemen, if we're just talking on offense, I think losing one of the linemen, who's you know, been there before, and he's only a sophomore, but he's, you know, he started a lot last season, played a lot last season. So I think losing him, I think, would be pretty detrimental. And obviously Khalil Tate, being able to use his feet, kind of, it's different. You're not necessarily protecting someone who's just kind of going to sit back there, and you have to make sure he doesn't get hit. He's going to move around and make it easier on that group. But that's probably the one I would go with.
Yeah,
because okay. Like everyone else, like we said before, everyone else is either new or, you know, part of a group that's going to get to play. So there's answers for pretty much everyone else.
So that's on the offensive end. So now what about the defense?
Well, Colin Skuler is the obvious one. He's, I think, the Khalil Tate of the defensive side of the ball. So we'll leave him out. But I think Jace Whitaker.
Yeah.
I think they've talked a lot about, even last year, going back to what it meant to not have him there, like just his presence on the field and his leadership, and they were talking about him when he wasn't playing, and they were saying, you know, that's somebody that we lost, and it's important we've missed him because, you know, what he provided, and they've talked about him in that same way now that he's back on the field. And I think There's a calmness that he brings to the defense. Even if he's not, you know, the best player on the defense or the guy getting the most interceptions or most tackles, whatever. There's just something about what he brings to the table and his knowledge of the game that really calms everyone down. And I think they need that this year because they are going to rely on some pieces that are going to have some bigger roles. Jalen Harris, they need to be good. And obviously he plays on the defensive line and J.B. Brown plays on the defensive line. But those are two guys that are going to need, you know, that veteran leadership to help them as they kind of make this transition to having a bigger role and being relied on a lot more. So there's a lot of pieces like that. And I think Jace kind of brings that to the table for, you know, that entire defensive group.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, the good thing is I agree with Coach that he feels more comfortable. And I don't need to agree with him, but this team has more stability than it did last year.
Yeah.
And more depth. So you're pleased with that.
Yeah, I think for him, it's just a matter of progress. I think he understands, and that's where it gets difficult because, you know, you're trying to build a program. You're trying to, you know, restart things and bring in your own pieces and do all that. But you're also expected to win games while you're doing that, and it's difficult. And I think for a coach in Kevin Sumlin's shoes, it's all about, okay, are we at least better than last season? And I think that right now they feel like they are. And for them, that's progress. And it's going to take time to get this team to where we were talking about last week with, or whenever last time I was in here, about the Rose Bowl. I think that's obviously the goal, and that's what everybody wants to strive for, and, you know, playing for championships. But it's going to be a process. And unfortunately, the last couple coaches, that process didn't get a chance to play out as much. And mm-hmm. I think he's trying to find ways to kind of speed that up to, you know, start getting the results on the field.
So we talked about this last week when you were here. You talked about it a little off the air here. What is more important to fans, the Final Four with the basketball team or the Rose Bowl to the football team? So you and we can call in. Anybody who wants to call in to talk about that, 790-2040. Or if you want to talk about UA football, if you're excited about the season starting, even if you're not, because I don't get that much of a buzz out in public about this whole thing going on. But for this, you put it on the your message boards?
Yeah.
And how did it go?
It was pretty much the same that we had kind of when people were calling in, which was the Rose Bowl. And some there were some people who brought up some interesting points. And someone even pointed out that, hey, if Arizona football was as good as Arizona basketball, it wouldn't be a basketball town. It would be a football town.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an interesting point. And it kind of goes back to the point we were talking about with women's basketball, where Tucson, I think, just wants a winner. Doesn't matter what sport it's in. Mm-hmm. They'll celebrate somebody who's winning and a team that's winning. And another good point that got brought up was that, you know, fans have been so conditioned to believe that it's just never going to happen,
mm-hmm.
that they just can't get excited about it. So it's like, it's one of these things that doesn't seem real,
right?
Because it's just, that's the way they've been brought up, and that's, they've lived through all the experiences, and that's just the way they feel, is that, hey, it's never going to happen. So that's why, you know, when we know that's not achievable, we're going to root for basketball.
Right, right. No, in fact, you've been here 8-9 years now. Since 2000, since Tommy has been gone as a coach, I think maybe 2 years in that time have been pretty good, right?
Yeah.
2 years, and that was one when they went to the festival.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one?
Well, they went to a few bowl games in a row.
Yeah, but that was, you know,
The 2014 season is the one that stands out to everybody of the last, you know.
So you're talking 19 years, that's the best thing that happened to football?
Yeah.
Which is what? In a scale of 1 to 10, what? 7? 6?
Yeah. 6, probably.
Over, you know, we're not talking about the Rose Bowl, but we're talking the extended time here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And other than that, you got into the Vegas Bowl, you played in the Military Bowl or whatever, you played Boston College.
Well, and as we were talking about last time, too, one of your highlights is the New Mexico Bowl.
Right.
And that was just made exciting because of the way it ended and the way it played out. But, I mean, if you're looking at that, it's just the New Mexico Bowl.
Right, right, right. Just, what are you talking about?
Sorry, Steve.
Yeah. No, I understand. I totally get it. So the majority of them said Rose Bowl, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you have a big conversation with that?
No, it was pretty one-sided. I mean, there were some people were bringing some different points of view. But like I said, I thought those two things kind of stuck out, where it was...
Mm-hmm.
Someone had said if the football team was on the same level as the basketball team, it wouldn't even be close to being a basketball. It wouldn't, which was interesting. I mean, you usually talk about Tucson, you talk about the fan base, and you say, oh, they're basketball fans. But it was a different take, and I thought it was interesting and kind of made me think a little bit.
Yeah, it makes sense. If and buts, candies and nuts.
Yeah.
But you're right, though. I think the whole mentality would be different. And this town is kind of programmed to believe, okay, once you lose one or two games, it's let's move on from here, especially with football. What do you think would be the, and this is like a $64,000 question, what do you think that this program needs to make it exciting, besides wins?
Besides wins. Someone like Khalil Tate to do what he did in October, but to do it
all the time
to where, you know,
that would do what?
I think it would get a lot of fans back in the seats and generate some buzz. I think what it comes down to, I think for most fans, is they want to be able to brag. They want to be able to brag to their coworkers, to their family, to people that they know who root for other teams and say, oh, my team is good too. Because, you know, that's just part of what it is. I think they want to be able to go to work and say, oh, did you see Khalil Tate? Yeah, he's going to, you know, talk to your friends who are ASU fans. Oh, he's going to kill ASU and he's going to run them over and all this stuff. So I think that's a big part of it. And there's not a lot to brag about right now with the football team. And, you know, what did you see, the 5-7 season they had last year? It's hard to do that. And I think that's a big part of what a fan wants to do. And it's hard to do that when, you know, when you're not sure if they're going to win or not and what the result's going to be.
And you're just bragging with each other because it's all one-sided. You're all in Tucson.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I kind of get that. I don't disagree with that. I guess. It's just so I've always said this, well, not always, but recently, the buzz out there. Is there a buzz in your little website there?
I think people are more interested than it is like excited. Hey, let's see how good this team is. I think everyone's just kind of interested. Okay, what's going to happen in the second year under, you know, Kevin Sumlin? And is there something for me to get excited about?
So you won't know how good this team is until
Pac-12 play.
What about Texas Tech? Are they getting good?
They have a new coach. It's tough. I mean, it's tough with playing a program with a new coach. But I think a couple games into Pac-12 play, you'll kind of start to see it. Like I said, I still think the biggest positive Arizona could take from this weekend is if they win big. I think that tells you a lot, considering we know that Hawaii's not that bad and we know what their offense can do. And I think that'll be a good sign for Arizona if they're able to really win big.
So I get a text here from somebody who's listening to the show. Is Phoenix Metro more of a college football or basketball town? I'd have to say football crowd.
And it could be to that point that someone made where it just, who's been more successful.
Right, because college basketball there.
The town is following whoever is more successful and who's the more successful team.
Right.
Which makes sense. A point that I wasn't really thinking about. I was just thinking more kind of face value. Hey, there, it's a basketball town. But, yeah, I mean, that kind of lends some validity to that.
I hope that one caller or listener stays around. I don't know how many people are watching. As Bob is kind of just, you know, reading the Bible over there. it's a small Bible, Bob. Don't worry about it. I don't know what to make of this team. I really don't. You were there all the time. So let's assume for a second you saw them, 20 times? Oh, you were there 20 times? In those 20 times, if you rolled all those times you were able to see the team, that would be held for how long? 2 hours? A half hour?
What? Bad at math. But, I mean, we got about half hour every day. But
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
40 minutes.
Total?
Yeah.
So you've seen 40 minutes of this team play.
Yeah.
Hit.
And that's probably on the high side.
Yes.
Now that I think about it.
Yes. Yeah. So, and you came away with what?
Again, coming back to my original point was, I don't know what's drastically different.
Right.
I look at the team and it's hard to tell because, you know, some guys, maybe Arizona's itself has gotten better on both sides of the ball.
Right.
So it's hard. It's difficult to tell. And I think that's what the players kind of get into the mindset of doing, especially towards the end of camp where they know what's coming for the most part. And it's like, well, yeah, we know what plays. Like, it's not hard for us to make this decision. To make this tackle, to make this stop, because we understand what's coming and kind of vice versa. So, I mean, to me, I just didn't see anything that said, oh, wow, this is to look at these guys. People are going to have to look out for them.
And because you probably didn't get to see it because you weren't in there at the time.
It was very small glimpses.
Right. Right. So in those small glimpses, what impressed you the most?
J.J. Taylor. He's got something back. I don't know. I know he's far removed from that ankle injury, but it still felt like even last year there was still kind of some he didn't have kind of that same burst that we saw in those first couple games, which people forget about. One of them came against Hawaii when he juked the guy out. And
is that the spin move?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when he kind of started to get well known, and then he breaks his ankle, you know, a couple weeks later. But there was some of that back in the small moments that we got to see. I think it was actually their first scrimmage, and they went the first group versus the first group, and he got right by Tony Fields, and I put the video up, and people were like, whoa, like that. People pointed out that he got Tony Fields, and it was like, well, he's that good. And it's, when you watch him go through practice, I mean, it's just a different level. And he's got some of that kind of magic back that he had in that first season. And I think it's going to be really interesting. I hope for everyone's sake, for who loves just watching football and enjoys, you know, wants to be excited about the game. And I hope they use him in the slot some more, because I think he could be very, very dangerous in space. And if they can make him, you know, a receiver and just get him with one guy to beat, I think it could do a lot of damage. And
right.
I think having extra running backs, having some more people behind him who can carry the ball, I think will make a difference. And I think it gives them that flexibility to put him out there and, you know, let him do some different things.
Yeah, no, that's great. They have that weapon. They have two weapons.
Yeah.
Who can carry the ball and do well.
Yeah.
We'll see. So, Bob, let me wake you up, and we'll take a break here on 1030 The Voice. Come back for the final segment. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm here with Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats. I need that music, man, to keep me awake. I'm sure our listeners will say the same thing about me. God, just the music. I don't need to hear Rivera. So let me ask you a couple of goofy questions, Mr. Matt Moreno. You've been here 8-9 years. What made you, and you're from L.A., right? You went to school where, like in Frufru Pepperdine or something?
Long Beach State.
Long Beach State. So what made you decide to come here?
Opportunity. I looked for jobs in California, and there was people who didn't go to Long Beach State applying. They had gone to Northwestern and Missouri, and they wanted to move to California, and there weren't a lot of openings for jobs out there.
In terms of what, newspapers or something?
Newspapers. I wanted to work at a newspaper. That was kind of my goal and my dream. Why? No idea. I didn't know any better.
That was my dream, but I did it for a few years.
But yeah, that world appealed to me. And it was just difficult to kind of find any positions. The places that had openings were places that weren't desirable parts of California.
Say that again, that you had chances?
Well, no, there was just openings. Oh. I mean, it's not a chance, it's an opening and you can apply. But,
oh, yeah, so you don't want to say?
What do you mean?
Tell me where they were.
Like the Antelope Valley in High Desert area, which is ironic, I guess, that I moved to a desert. But they were just further out. I think everybody who gets out of college, they kind of would rather stay by family and stay close and not really want to move from their area. And that's kind of where I was. And then this opportunity came up, and made a trip out here and said, might as well. Because, I mean, there just weren't, and there's more now. There's a lot of, I mean, we look at, I know you always talk about it. I know it kind of irks you sometimes, but you know that there are so many people here in Tucson that cover the teams, and there's a lot of different outlets. And you can have a website and.
Well, I'm guilty of this too, and I'll admit this on the air. But I was not like this 20 some years ago up until the paper closed, and then I worked for Fox, so I did ask a lot of questions. In this 20 minute interview, and this is to my point, we'll get back to my other questions. 23 minutes, I think, on the Sullivan thing. Count the many, and you were there, so you're kind of, and Anthony was there too. But do you have, how many reporters? 10 maybe?
In that were in the room?
Yes.
There were a lot.
Okay.
Today was quite
even,
a bit.
Even a lot.
Yeah.
How many people did you hear ask questions?
There's probably about 6.
Right. So to the point, my point is, what, 25% of the people ask questions?
Yeah.
And what did the other 75 do?
Tweet out everything and post their videos. And
hey, I'm guilty of it now because of my...
It's easy, and I understand
my interest level.
No, I understand it, and that's just the world we live in. And if it's one of those things where if you don't do it, someone else is, and then you're just... what are you holding your... Like, what are you holding your content for at that point?
True. But are you truly covering a team? Even now, like me, I'm not covering a team. I will freely admit that. If you're not really involved in asking the questions of the team, you know, it's easy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the answer is not really.
Not really.
But you're grabbing all the information and writing stuff.
Yeah, but that's the world. That's the world, and that's the frustrating part for someone like myself who's running a
pay for a website.
Yeah, there's a paywall, and it's trying to figure out, okay, what's information that's you know, premium content, and a lot of that stuff for me is recruiting. But you're trying to balance that with, you know, today's world, if it doesn't get reported on Twitter, you're not breaking it. If I put something on a message boards before anybody else has it, days before, but someone else gets it on Twitter, they've been considered breaking the news.
And
so it makes it difficult. What do you hold? What do you not hold? And so for someone like me and what I do, the recruiting stuff, if I tweet something out there, someone who doesn't isn't at the event, let's say I paid money to go somewhere, wherever. I know Bruce went to South Carolina for the Peach Jam this summer, and something where, I mean, that's a trip. I've done that trip before. It's expensive and you get a lot of good content, but let's say I tweet something and someone can write a story based off that, and you know, it gets pushed to the top of Google, and
whether you're mentioned in the story or not.
Oh, and that's the bad habit some people get into, is they don't mention, and they just kind of, it's out there, so it's out there. It's public, it's for public consumption because it's on Twitter or something like that. So that's where it gets difficult, because I either paid the money or I at the very least made the effort to go somewhere and talk to a recruit, and you're trying to build up your own name, because it's so important to everybody, you know, that you have a kind of a following. And
part of the problem and part of the difficult part of this work is the asking of the question. Does that make sense? Because that's half the battle. You won't get the answers if you don't ask the questions.
Right.
And sometimes the questions are tough. I can't remember the last time I asked a tough question in a press conference. It don't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. Maybe to Sean a year or two ago. But what's the point for me?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what do I have to win or lose?
Yeah,
in any sense. So that was probably when I worked for Fox Sports in Arizona. But back when I asked some questions like that, and asked a lot of questions. But I realized a long time ago, what's the point of asking if someone else is going to grab it and run with it?
And that's the difficult part. And, you know, that's where I think the gripes come from, is because it's...
Are there gripes?
I think internally within the media, just with...
I agree with that. Yeah. So you were going to say, I'm sorry.
I just think it's almost like we were talking about the Arizona football thing, where it's just accepted that, hey, this is going to happen, so why even bother? Like, why even think that way?
Oh, yeah. But you got good news today, or last week, in terms of the access?
Oh, yeah. I mean, tomorrow, it's going to be interesting, because they're going to be, you know, having players involved, and they're going to get to talk, and it's going to be either in smaller groups, or maybe if someone, you get someone at one point one-on-one, I mean, it's going to be a little bit better. It's going to be like, you know, we had a few years ago, and... at least an opportunity to ask questions for one, Steve, and then, you know, get an answer that's not everybody has, and that isn't going to be on, you know, YouTube or Twitter 10 minutes after.
Right. No, it was funny, because when I was at the Citizen, and I'm sorry about if people don't like me talking about it, but when I was with the Star competing against the Star, I would wait for all the other questions to ask, and then I would kind of swoop in afterward and get them by myself, and they would say, you like asking questions by yourself? Well, I have to be. Because I was like you, if I want to have different content, if I want to have different than the morning paper, because a lot of people are going to read the morning paper, it was like 70 to 30%. I need to ask different and come up from a different angle than they did, which makes no sense, but you had to, because it had to be different than the morning.
Yeah, and that's the tough part. I think what's going to resonate with fans and people who read and subscribers and all that stuff is when it is different, when it is unique, and a lot of those are feature stories. And when you get to, and kind of like Ari was mentioning, you know, there was a lot of stuff he wished he could have done that just wasn't able to happen for one reason or another, because it was going to take a lot more effort and cooperation. And I think that's where, you know, it's difficult, because especially a press conference setting, if you're trying to do, you know, not that everybody wants to do the Kevin Sumlin life story, but if you're trying to, you know, dive into things a little bit more personal that aren't about, you know, the depth chart or whatever, it's a tough situation to ask Kevin Sumlin when we get him. You know, we're going to get him Monday, and we're going to get him after games. And
so you'll never get that story.
Right. And or if you do, it's on YouTube, it's on Twitter, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's, you don't even have time to write your story and kind of craft your story. So I think that's, so that's kind of the challenge, is everything's becoming more broad, and the availabilities are just meant to be more general and address certain topics. But then on the other hand, I think people would respond better and be more engaged in stories that are more personal. And
yeah, no question.
We know that.
Well, I've asked that because I wanted to do a story on Noel Mazzone, growing up in Raton, because I'm in that area. We competed against each other in terms of districts, and I mean, he's older than me, but I never played against him. But that's the kind of story I want to write. But why would my questions wouldn't mean anything to anybody else?
And that's the difficult part. And you were asking about the DeMarco Murray stuff earlier, that's what I said. Some people have stories to write, and that's the only venue you're not going to get.
Right.
You know, you're more than likely not going to get a one-on-one interview with DeMarco Murray, and you know, get these other opportunities. So you have to ask it, and it seems out of place, and that's what happens a lot. There's kind of questions that seem out of place, but people have the stories that they want to write, and
Well, it was funny.
What are the way you can ask?
And you remember last year, and I give Alameda in a nice way grief about this, because when he had to ask, he asked someone about what he did when he grew up, or the job and his parents and blah, blah, and he's asking, and then someone saying, "Why are you asking me these questions?" Well, it's because it's only time to have them talk to you. Yeah. But, and those are the good stories.
Yeah.
The thing about it is now everybody has that question.
Yeah.
And whether they use it or not, that's the whole thing. But the good old days of this business were long gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's what we're seeing. I don't think it's going to suddenly flip and people are gonna be like, oh, no, this is, we're going to do it this way now. And it's just how it goes. And it's up to people like us to figure out how to work with that and turn it into something that people will respond to.
Right. Well, you still have a chance in other sports. Obviously,
yeah.
The minor sports who have great stories to tell, just there's no perceived interest, if that makes any sense. True.
Yeah.
Well, I think Adia is going to deal with that now. And I don't know how many great girls she has on the team, but you're going to have to pick and choose, and you have the whole season to do it. Can I do a story on who doesn't know about McDonald now?
But from a purely just from a subscription, let's say a subscription-based standpoint, We were talking about, you know, the women's basketball team selling out a game and how monumental that was. And when on the men's side, you know, it's rare to not have a sellout, you know, and that's one of those things where when you're trying to get subscribers, it's which way do you go? Yes, you can dedicate a lot more of your time to, you know, a different sport.
Right.
But it comes down to money when you're in a business, and is it worth it, you know, spending all this extra time when you're going to be missing stuff on the other side that people really have shown they care about?
Yeah, no question. There's a lot of details to be figured out.
And in the meantime, staffs are getting
smaller and smaller. Right. Because the business itself is just being beat to a crisp.
Yeah. I haven't been in this business for a ton of time, you know, less than a decade, but even in that time, I've seen a lot, even in Tucson, a lot of people come through that are now gone or, you know, got laid off, or in California, sure. It happened a lot. There was people that worked in newspapers when I first, you know.
Well, they're Pulitzer Prize winners.
Yeah.
Very good friends of mine who have won major awards. And now they're just, you know, trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And they're really stretched thin. And, you know, you're sending a photographer to, you know, 15 different places in a day. And he's expected to, you know, get all the jobs done. And, you know, everyone has to be able to multitask and do 5 different jobs.
Mm-hmm. The good old days. No. And
I think that hurts the product too. I mean,
well, there's no question.
If I could spend, you know, one day writing one story and not have to worry about editing video and doing all this stuff and, you know, just dedicate my time to, you know, working a lot of my time to working on one story. I mean, you're going to get a better story.
Sure. But that's, and everything's kind of like produce.
Yeah.
It's always been that way, but you had other people kind of weaving in and getting stories. That's why the locals like me are offended by the nationals who are come in, swoop in and get their stuff. And actually it's just a compilation of all our stories over an extended amount of time.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to get anything different. They could. It's like the Khalil story, I guess a week or two ago in SI, that said he had a shoulder injury and an ankle injury in addition to whatever. It's the first time I heard of it. Did you hear about it any other time?
Not publicly like that, no.
Right. And so they get it because they've had time to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no, Arizona's not going to disclose that freely.
No.
It is what it is. But it's part of the business, and you just go about it every day. So my question is, so you came here, but didn't you, you had the opportunity to buy the site that you bought. Is that how you, because if you couldn't find a job, correct?
Yeah, newspaper-wise, I mean, it was just difficult. I mean, the options, I could have gone to other places. I know there was, you know, places like in Pennsylvania and some of these other places, smaller markets, where I could have gone and worked at a newspaper. But my biggest thing was staying relatively close to home.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go too far. And, you know, it was close enough here. And like I said, I think last time, just growing up, you know, a fan of sports and college sports, really, I knew of the place. It wasn't like Tucson was completely foreign to me. I had heard of it.
Really?
Yeah. And understood kind of what the passion was and kind of where the passion leaned out here. So I had a kind of a good idea of what to expect. And I mean, the thing that was new to me was the recruiting side. That was not something, I mean, Long Beach State, when I'm covering them and they don't have a football team, their men's basketball team is kind of like the football team there. they're not recruiting at the same level as a school like Arizona. So recruiting was not something that came up, you know, in the daily conversation. And so understanding the ins and outs of that was something that really had to, that I had to kind of pick up and understand and really learn kind of while I, you know, was doing the job.
Yeah, no, and it's, you like it. I'm sure you like it. Keeps you busy. And it's different because you're the guy there.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think it gives you a better understanding of what's going on, and you're not, you know, surprised by things that happen that come up in the college basketball world. You're not caught off guard like, you know, some people were when, you know, stuff tends to break out like we've had over the last couple of years, and it's just not as shocking.
Right, right. And you're still not prepared, though, because it's...
No.
You don't think anything's going to happen?
No.
So, well, thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
Two hours of this. It was good. We'll talk more, obviously, about the game this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and that's, this show kind of felt like kind of the vibe of everybody right now, where it's like, all right, we're just ready for something. We want to see something.
Right. We'll see if we get to see what we think we're going to see.
Yeah.
A better Arizona football team. But you won't get that against Hawaii. You won't get that against NAU. You won't get that against maybe Texas Tech. Maybe Texas Tech.
We'll get serious then.
Okay. So we'll talk to you maybe next week. Thanks again for coming in.
No problem, Steve.
Appreciate it. Hey, good talking to you, Bob. Good seeing you. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks a bunch.